As we prepare to hear God's word in scripture, let us pray. Holy God, as we come now to your word, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to hear how you would speak to each of us today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our story today comes from Exodus chapters 5 and then the very first verse of chapter 6. It's going to take place just at the very beginning of the story that I told to our children, just as Moses and his brother Aaron have arrived back in Egypt to talk with Pharaoh. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should heed him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he will fall upon us with pestilence and sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their work? Get to your labors." That same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people, as well as their supervisors, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, but you shall require of them the same quantity of bricks as they have made previously. Do not diminish it, for they are lazy. That is why they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifices to our God.' Let heavier work be laid on them. Then they will labor and pay no attention to deceptive words." So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, the same daily assignment as when you were given straw." And the supervisors of the Israelites, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why did you not finish the required quantity of bricks yesterday and today as you did before?" Then the Israelite supervisors came to Pharaoh and cried, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, and yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' Look how your servants are beaten. You are unjust to your own people." He said, "You are lazy, lazy. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.'" The Israelite supervisors saw that they were in trouble when they were told, "You shall not lessen your daily number of bricks." As they left Pharaoh, they came upon Moses and Aaron, who were waiting to meet them. They said to them, "The Lord look upon you and judge. You have brought us into bad odor with Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Then Moses turned again to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you mistreated this people? Why did you ever send me? Since I first came to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has mistreated this people, and you have done nothing at all to deliver your people." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by a mighty hand, he will let them go. By a mighty hand, he will drive them out of his land." This is the word of the Lord. Just hold the ice cube and relax. Relax with an ice cube melting in my hand? No way. I was in a workshop on distress tolerance a few years ago. Half the class members were told to hold the ice cube and relax. The other half were told to encourage them. Now, letting an ice cube melt in your hand is a surprisingly unpleasant assignment. Not full-on excruciating, but definitely uncomfortable. And it gets worse and worse the longer that you hold that ice cube. Every second that the ice was there, we had to choose intentionally to keep on holding it. We could have easily just let it slide right off our palms, but no one in the class did. It wasn't easy to feel that discomfort, but we could do it. And despite my initial skepticism, trying to relax and breathe deeply actually did help. I wonder if there are times in your own life when you have chosen to hold the ice, situations when you have strategically leaned into discomfort, in a difficult choice, perhaps, pertaining to your marriage or your finances or your health, in a decision at work or at school that's hard for you. In all of our lives, we face moments when we just want to drop that ice. Times when we know the right thing to do, but it's hard and uncomfortable and maybe even painful. When God sent Moses back to Egypt, God was asking him to hold the ice, to feel the distress, to lean into that discomfort and resistance and breathe. When Moses first goes to Pharaoh, he gets exactly what he expects: immediate, angry resistance. "Who is this Lord?" Pharaoh asks. "I don't know him. You people are lazy." But then there's a backlash as Pharaoh's orders about the straw make everything that much worse. While Moses anticipated this resistance from Pharaoh, what he may not have expected was the anger that was thrown back at him from his own people. When Pharaoh issues the command to have the Israelites collect all the straw themselves and keep up that daily quota of bricks, they direct their anger at this at Moses. And with shockingly vivid biblical language, perhaps you heard it, they say, "You have made us a bad odor. You have made us stink to Pharaoh." They blame Moses for their suffering. It's a classic example of misdirected anger, an attempt to manipulate Moses to get him to give up and leave them alone. So Moses does something really important here. He doesn't lash out at his people. He goes to God, and he is honest with the frustration that he feels. He is honest with his doubt about God's power and faithfulness. And he tells God everything, all of this in his heart that is doubting and struggling, he tells it to God. And God answers in the whole of chapter 6 with a remarkable, powerful assurance of what he will do. We just heard the very first bit of it. God goes on to name promise after promise about how he will transform the lives of his people. He says, "I will free you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will bring you into the land. I will give it to you." But Moses, when he tells this to his people, God's people, they don't listen because we are told because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. Pharaoh has broken the spirit of God's people, but he can't break Moses. Instead, Moses chooses the discomfort that is needed for God's work. 12 times, Moses and Aaron are going to go to Pharaoh and ask him to let God's people go. And time after time, Pharaoh is either going to say no, or he's going to say, "Okay, go ahead," and then change his mind and say, "No way, I'm not letting them go." God's going to send awful plagues, flies and gnats and sores and frogs and darkness. And it's all meant to pressure Pharaoh to give in. But Pharaoh's heart is hard. And this hardness keeps him from both reason and compassion. He doesn't see the Israelites as human beings. He just sees them as his things, his property. And worst of all, God is going to send the only worst possible plague that can at last pressure Pharaoh, convince him to let God's people go. I've often wrestled with this story, with this description of God sending such awful plagues on the Egyptians. It's not the way that we tend to think about God. But I found great help in a volume of sermons by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. It's entitled Strength to Love, and it includes the theological foundations of his leadership in the civil rights movement. One of his sermons in the collection has especially spoken to me on this subject. And it's based on Jesus teaching that his disciples are to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. King entitled the sermon, A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart. He speaks there about the necessity in our own lives of bringing together clear, principled thinking, a tough mind, with compassion, that compassion inherent in a tender heart. King writes that one without the other causes dangerous distortions. A tough mind alone makes people like Pharaoh, people concerned only with what's best for them, people who are devoid of love and compassion. But a tender heart on its own causes just as many problems. For it leads us to believe anything, to act solely based on our impulses or feelings, lacking the critical thinking skills necessary to see the bigger picture. This was the mistake of the Israelites, who thought only of their present situation, without considering or imagining the liberation God could bring for their children and grandchildren. King writes that we as Christians need both a tough mind and a tender heart. We see this blend of leadership in the character of Moses, who cares about his own people and chooses to sacrifice his own ease in Midian in order to do what is right for them. And we also see this balance in the character of our God. God hears the cries of his people and responds with compassion. And yet God must also engage with this leader whose mind and heart have been so warped that in the end he will only listen to the worst kind of suffering. As King writes, the greatness of our God lies in the fact that he is both tough-minded and tender-hearted. He has qualities both of austerity and of gentleness. The Bible always clear in stressing both attributes of God, expresses his tough-mindedness in his justice and wrath, and his tender-heartedness in his love and grace. God has two outstretched arms. One is strong enough to surround us with justice. One is gentle enough to embrace us with grace. We worship a God who is one with a tough mind and a tender heart, and therefore one who went to the cross for us, the ultimate act for our liberation. And our God, who knows what it's like to make this incredibly tough choice, is with us in a powerful way when we choose the discomfort that we know is right but isn't easy. Leaning into discomfort isn't a pleasant part of leadership, but it's absolutely required. So what helped Moses brave this discomfort? It was prayer. It was his honesty before the Lord, how he boldly named his frustration and listened for God's response, God's promise of a future of liberation. There are moments in all of our lives and in our leadership as people in the world when what is right is also really hard. Moments then when we know that we have to hold the ice, but our hands are aching really badly. And there, in what is hard and right, lies our own liberation and that of all God's people. So may we, as leaders in this world, have the courage, when needed, to hold the ice. Amen.